I love you.
Hi, and welcome to episode 5 of Beebles Legends podcast, Failsafe. I'm Carrie, and tonight I'm here with the wonderful...
Elias. Hello, guys.
Hey. So it's just the two of us tonight. There's been some crazy stuff going on in the team this week. We've had a busy, busy week, so it's just going to be the two of us, the dynamic duo.
I like that name.
Me too. I think that's what we should go by from now on. Let's get t-shirts. We seem to be getting t-shirts for everything. Let's get t-shirts.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Everybody else will be so jealous.
And on tonight's episode, some facts about the episode. It was directed by Dermot Downes and written by Beth Swartz and Grainy Godfrey.
Yeah, they did a great job. This is a really, really good episode.
Yes.
Fail safe. That's what it's called. I'm pretty sure I remember to say that. But yeah,
yes. Really, and I have to apologize because last week's episode, I said fall safe instead of fail safe because I can't read.
Also, a little behind the scenes snippet for everybody. Last week I was literally just going, now you go, now you introduce the next thing, now you introduce the next thing, and nobody knew in advance, so nobody had prepared anything to say. And a lot of it, it took everybody at least 2 or 3 takes to get through a single introduction. You're going to have such good bloopers of just laughing at each other and not being able, I mean, guys, it just took us at least 5 takes to introduce the podcast tonight.
Yes. Oh my god. Bloopers are hilarious.
I mean, I don't know though. I don't know if they'll just be funny for us or if they would be funny for everybody, but laughter is contagious, I think. So if something's funny to one person, it's usually funny to everybody.
Yeah, totally.
Unless it's like offensive.
Well, we're just offensive to one another and not to others, so it's fine.
We're offensive to each other and everybody else. It's cool.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? It was going to be funny and I can't think of how to word it. We are not bad people because we are rude to everybody equally.
Yes. Totally.
So it's fine. No, I'm kidding. We're good people. And like people sometimes sort of kind of. Anyway, moving on. What did you think of the episode, Elias?
I loved it. And this is the first time in the podcast I'm not going to say I liked the episode, but I have some issues with it because it was historically accurate. It was awesome. It had fight scenes. It had emotional scenes. I just loved it.
Do you know what? Seeing this episode, Sarah was an absolute badass.
Yes.
And not just because she looks badass in that costume, the canary suit, not just because she is powerful and strong and took out all those guys, but she was badass for the emotional scenes. Like, she nailed those scenes.
Yes. Definitely.
She had, like, the depth for her character was fantastic. Yeah, I love the episode though. I like the fight scenes and I like the everyone's doing something different. However, have you noticed, because I noticed tonight while I was watching, that these episodes all have something in common, like their structure.
Because, wait, what do you mean with these episodes?
So we're talking episode 1 to 5 so far. Obviously.
Okay.
But they all have, the structure is always very much the same. So the team will find out where Vandal Savage is next. They will go to that place.
And Rip, they fail.
Yeah, Rip Hunter will split the team up. He will say, you're going to stay and you're going to go. They will do that and they will fail miserably. Then Rip will realise, maybe we shouldn't have split the team up, and he'll send everybody else in and then they'll win. They won't defeat Savage, but they will no longer be stuck in whatever situation they were stuck in. Happens in every episode. That is the premise of Legends of Tomorrow Season 1.
Yes, and that's maybe the reason the cast wants to forget about season one.
Yeah, because it's literally just a loop of the same thing, just in different places. Yes. Yeah, good episode. It was fun. But yeah, that's something I noticed. I also realised I really, really like Vandal Savage as a villain. I think that there's something about him, like he does that whole, he takes his time. He's not angry and he's not rushing. He's very patient and he always smiles. And he's just got this way of going like, ah, he's evil, isn't he?
He has that kind of, he thinks he knows that he's going to succeed and never fail.
He really believes in himself.
Yeah. I aspire that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that he's a great, great villain. Like, the way that he's portrayed, that really calm, collected, he's not worried, he's not rushing, he's not scared, he's prepared, he knows what his goals are. And that all just rounds off his sort of evil, villainy typeness. Like, when he's looking at Kendra and she says something to him, like, he's like, you'll come with me, and she says no, and he goes, no. It's just like, oh, don't say no, go with him.
Yeah, Vandal Savage is like, he has that kind of lovable villainous. Is that even a phrase or a word? I don't care to him.
No, I get it. I do. He does. He has, like, you kind of love to hate him.
Yeah. A bit like some people feel about Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter.
Yes, and I think a lot of people love to hate Damien Dark as well.
Yeah. I mean, I just think he's, like, I know we're jumping seasons again, but Legends of Tomorrow, Damien Dark, even the actor himself said that he asked the writers to make him a little bit more funny, and he cares so much for his daughter, and at the same time, he's kind of funny and quirky, and that's why I kind of like Damien Dark.
Yeah. I don't know what Vandal Savage's redeeming qualities are, because he doesn't have, like, his motivations aren't love or family or whatever. It's revenge. It's...
Well, it's kind of fighting for the one woman he has ever really crushed on, Kendra.
Yeah, but see, at the same time, not really, because he is going after her because she dared to love somebody else, do you know what I mean? So it's more like, if I can't have you, nobody can. So it's not even like a love motivation, it's more a revenge motivation, do you know what I mean? Like,
selfishness?
So yeah, he's really, like, he doesn't have a lot of redeeming qualities, which then makes it so strange that you can actually like him as a villain. Because you can't even empathise with his cause, and he's just gone about it wrong. Do you know what I mean? He's a good villain. I like Vandal Savage.
Totally. But going on with the theme we had in the podcast until now, what was your favourite moment?
So my favourite moment was probably when Rip and Snart are in the sort of sauna, and they're like, do you want to fight this guy? Nah, you fight this guy. And while they're like moaning about who's going to fight the big guy, Sarah's outside taking down all the guys.
Yeah, I have a similar favorite moment, but it was, I wrote down the quote from the Russian mob boss, a man who has no life story cannot be trusted, plus Sarah fighting all those, I think it was said six guys, while they couldn't take out one.
You just stole my fucking quiz question. What was your least favorite?
Rip telling Sarah to kill Stein if the mission goes wrong.
Yeah, that was really unfair. That was cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it, kind of.
It's like the hard call.
Yeah, because he sets history and to kill Wendell Savage before everything else.
Yeah, I just think that that was an unfair burden to put on Sarah.
Yeah, but he knows or thinks, I don't know, that Sarah is the only one actually gonna go, that's actually gonna go for it.
I think that's true, but yeah, I think my least favorite part was, it was in the prison, and it was, I liked the stuff in the prison. I liked that Ray took the torture so that Mick didn't have to, but I just thought that it lacked depth a little bit. I just feel like there could have been a lot more from them. Like, wouldn't it be really great and funny to have just seen a little bit more of them two interacting with each other? Because that's like the start of their teamwork. That's when Mick realizes that Ray's not just some guy in a suit.
There some boy scout.
Yeah, there could have been a little bit more depth to it if that's going to be the turning point for them to build their future relationship on.
Yeah, I mean, I have issues with that scene because I have really high empathy and also bodily empathy. So when Ray was getting bet up, whatever, with a hammer, I felt that on my back. So it was really, really tough to watch. And also, can I point out that I wrote down, is it weird that I think the Russian lady is kind of hot?
Literally, because I thought it was really funny. I have literally wrote down, what did I write? Soviet Firestorm is hot. I thought that was really funny. I thought that was like a play on words. I was really proud of myself. Like, Soviet Firestorm is so hot. So, going with the normal podcast theme then, what was the most meaningful moment? Which moment from this episode will have the greatest impact on future episodes for you?
The situation with Jax talking to Russian Soviet Firestorm and encouraging Stein to be able to split on his own without the Russian lady accepting the split too, because it just builds their relationship up again after there was some trust issues last episode. I really, really, really liked that moment. I'm sorry. I was just something in outside of my room just fell down.
I thought that that moment was really important as well. I think that it's quite significant that Jax mentions Ronnie just as Stein starts to get a grip, because it sort of shows that Stein doesn't want to lose another partner. He does think of Jax the same way that he thought of Ronnie, and it's quite significant that when Jax says Ronnie's name, that's when Stein starts to pull forwards, I think.
Yeah.
My most significant moment was towards the end of the episode, when Sarah and Rip are chatting to each other. And before I say mine, I'm going to say I'm not into that sort of weird flirting thing that's going on between those two. Like, I know a lot of people ship them. I'm not one of them. Like, the sort of flirting that they done in the last episode was okay, but this one just, like, kind of seemed like Rip was trying to flirt with Sarah, but Sarah was talking about Snart, and it was a bit like, meh. But anyway, he says, she had said, it's strange because in the League of Assassins, failing to follow through on a hit is punishable worse than death. And I don't remember the exact quote of what it is he says to her, but it's like, like maybe this is a new start, like maybe it's the beginning of a new era.
I can kind of remember the quote, because Sarah said after the talk about the League of Assassins, maybe she's losing her edge.
And he says, and you're gaining a new edge. That's what it means.
I want to believe that your humanity was it that didn't kill Stein. She then says, I want to believe that too, and I had some help, and looks at Snart.
Yeah, that's my most meaningful moment. Not for the whole looking at Snart part, but the her being told that she's not losing her edge, she's gaining a new one, she's becoming more powerful by losing that I'm just going to kill because that's what I've been told to do. But I also noticed during the episode, like, the men are bitching at each other, like, you left my partner behind, but if we had to or everybody would have died, blah, 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 blah. They're all fighting at each other. And Sarah is like, right, guys. And she takes control of the situation. I feel like this is the first time I've seen, like, she was destined to be the captain. Like, she takes control of Rip and Snart when they're going at each other. She takes control of that situation.
Yeah, she's destined to become the Time Mom.
Yeah, and it's from as early as this. Like, I can see how that organically grew because she does have those leadership skills that are obviously great. Like, what was your takeaway from the episode? What was your overall feeling?
Overall, it felt great to watch it. I'm just looking over my notes to see if there's something else I want to add before we get to the fun part. I mean, I wrote down, I chuckled when Savage said nuclear because of nuclear. Thank you so much. And also, just a little history background. I'm doing a Nate Haywood right now. Gulag is not only the name of the labor camps or concentration camps Soviet Russia had, but also of the government agency that had that was in charge of those labor camps. I think it's always good to give like some historical background on shit.
I think it's useful to know. It helps to have a better understanding. The only other thing that I wrote down that I hadn't mentioned, I think, just let me check. No, there were two things. There's two things.
I also saw another one.
Go ahead.
I also wrote down, I'm gonna do what needs to be done, like the quote from Sarah, and you can, like, see the clear remorse in her eyes when she tells that to Snart.
Yeah, I wrote that down a fair bit as well, that she seems like she doesn't want to be doing it. Like, this is, she's doing it because she has to, like, she's still got that ingrained into her, you follow the orders you're given, whether you agree with them or not. That sort of soldier assassin that she was trained to be, like, you can see she doesn't want it though.
Yeah, totally.
Such a beautiful actress. Like, she's done a good job with that. The thing I wrote down was that Ray is such a ray of sunshine.
Like, yeah, I also wrote down Ray is just so innocent. I just read over it a couple of
walking
times.
Through the prison and he's like, howdy, hey guys, trying to shake everybody's hands. Like, hey buddy, how's it going? Do you think they'll bring us blankets later?
Yeah, right. It's just so innocent.
I love him so much. And, like, obviously he takes that beating because he wants to show that he's not scared. And it shows that he's not just this two-dimensional, naive little guy. But he... I love him. Like...
I... as Snart says later... I also think that Ray is a lot like I am. Like, I would take a beating for probably everyone I know except for those people I hate. I would take a beating for you. I would take a beating for Nisi. I would take a beating for my fifth and sixth grade English teacher.
Would you take a beating for Bebo?
Yes. Like, I think he, I mean, I think me and him have different, like, what is it called? Motivations about it, because he just wants to save everyone, and I just put everyone's life above mine, which I don't think he does.
No, I think he values himself, but he also values everybody else. Like, I think, I don't know. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I thought he's such a light, isn't he? What a nice guy.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I had wrote down that I wanted to talk about was at the very end when they flash forward to 2046 and Sarah's face when she thinks that she sees Ollie. Heartbreaking, because she's missed him.
I hate Oliver, so...
Yeah, but it's not Oliver, so it's okay. But she thinks Oliver, and obviously Sarah Lance loves Oliver Queen.
In a platonic way.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's kind of the same, like, when in Arrow, spoiler alert for people who haven't watched it, who may be, in Arrow, when Laurel dies, she tells Oliver that it was always him. She always loved him, even though they grew apart and she didn't want to be with him anymore and she felt like it was wrong. He was always the one. And I feel like for Sarah, had she stayed where she was and had she not died and had she not gone down this crazy path that she's now gone down, it would have been Oliver.
I think it would have been Nyssa, but that is a topic for another discussion.
That's taken, like, Nyssa out of the equation, though, taken out of all of that craziness that happened sort of around about the whole season of Arrow where she dies. Like, just take it from when she came back from being away and she...
From Nanda Parbat?
Yeah, and she got back together with Oliver and they had a relationship. I feel like that was her thing. Like, that was her first sort of stable thing that she had since coming back from Nanda Parbat.
Thank you for saying that. But I still... don't like Oliver, so I don't want to think about that too much.
I'm not the biggest Oliver Queen fan, but I can see what the character done for Sarah.
But I also think a lot of the change Sarah goes through is from Sin in Arrow.
I do too.
I love Sin to death.
The sort of big sister thing that she has going. Sarah's had so much growth, and not a lot of it so far has been on her own accord. A lot of it's been influenced by the League, obviously turning her from this sort of college girl that wants to go on boats and sleep with her sister's boyfriend to an assassin. And then Oliver sort of helped guide her towards not killing people and helping people. And obviously the love for her sister and protecting women and things that she'd done in Arrow. And then obviously... Nyssa had a big part of sculpting her while she was away. And then now she's sort of getting that chance to reinvent herself on her own terms. And yes, she's being guided, but not so much. She's more being told, like, you can change if you want to.
I think she doesn't have, like, a teacher anymore that tells her to do that and do that and do that. But she gained kind of parents with mostly Stein. That's just going to come up in the later seasons. And I'm sorry for saying this, but Stein and Rip. Kind of not being mentors, but really being like fathers to be like, yeah, you do whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, this would be the best option, and that's what normal parents would do.
Yeah, and I think the part, like, there's a part that comes up in later episodes where Stein says something to her that along the lines of, like, what you done was brave, what you done was strong, like, you are the epitome of bravery. And I think, I think she's starting to realise that she can better herself and not have to rely on somebody else to guide her. I think that's a really important moment in Sarah's journey.
Yeah, totally.
This is a good episode.
I just thought every now and then we should just do a dynamic duo episode, because those episodes are really, really good.
Also, I feel like we've been recording this episode, probably we've got about half an hour's worth of content already, and we haven't started the quiz and we haven't started anything else. We've actually discussed the episode. So coming up next on Beeble's Legends podcast is our infamous quiz section. So if you want to play along at home, crack on. No one will judge you for shouting the answers out at your phone or whatever device you're using to listen to this on. We encourage it. Go ahead, join in. Let us know how you got on. We're interested.
Definitely. So who's going to start this week, you or me?
Well, let's take it in turns. You ask a question, I ask a question, and go back and forth.
How many questions do you have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Girl, I have 2.
Well, I knew that it was only going to be me and you, or me, you, and Niecy, so I thought I'd over-prepare.
Even while watching, couldn't come up with more questions. So I'm going to start, okay?
You go first.
Where exactly is Stein locked up? And there are 3 possible answers to that question.
I don't know.
One of the answers is said like 4 times or something during the episode.
Solitary? Nope. Damn it, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want like the specific place or like the general region?
The specific place.
He's in the Gulag in Russia.
Nope.
He is.
Like, yeah, he is, but that's not the answer I was looking for.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Practice, okay.
Possible answer 1, labor camp number 54.
I knew that. One of my questions was, which labor camp? Labor camp 54. I knew.
Possible answer number 2, Koshmar Gulag.
Okay.
Possible answer number 3, Nightmare Gulag.
Oh, I had those written down. I just didn't know that's what you meant. That's really annoying. I'm disappointed in myself. I should go and sit in a corner and think about what I've done.
Yes.
Okay, my turn. What number of cell is Mick and Ray kept in?
Is it ever set or is it just written on the wall?
It's written, and you should know by now that these are the kind of questions that I'm asking you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I started to rewatch it with subtitles, and I can't read the subtitles and what's written on the wall at the same time. So I'm just going to go with 69 because it's a fun number.
I'm going to go with 69 because it's a fun number. 13.
14? 13? What?
1, 3.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
I remember seeing that the first time I watched it, being like, 13, unlucky number.
And then now you didn't remember. Okay, it's your turn.
Why does Mick want to take Ray with him, like, when they break out of the Gulag?
Because he took a beating for him.
Yes!
Yay! So proud of myself. Doing a happy dance. Okay. Who did Professor Stein see in his vision?
Sisko.
Yeah, well done. Okay, quick fire round. Except I can't read fast. How many men does Sarah take out in the sauna?
6.
Yeah! How many sharpshooters does Rip say Kendra and Jax have to get past?
20?
8.
What?
8. 8 sharpshooters.
Oh.
I have another one, I think. What number is on the door that Kendra enters?
5.
Yes! I think that's me. I think that's all my questions.
Because I thought you were going to ask a question about the number on the door.
I did ask questions about numbers on the door. So those were my questions. That was a really good quick fire round. Well done. You nailed that.
Whoop, whoop.
You know what you get to do? You get to do finger guns. Ta-da.
Bisexual finger guns.
Our favorite kind of finger guns. Bebo's Legends podcast highly endorses finger guns.
Yes. Because at least 3 out of 5 of us are queer, so.
We are a very welcoming team. Diverse. Yes. Diverse team.
Split up over 4 different countries, 5 different. Kind of 5 different nationalities.
Also, a little bit of info for anyone listening. We actually reach 18 different countries in the world with this podcast.
Yeah, and we're number 64 or 3, I don't exactly know, in the TV and film category in Israel on Apple Podcast.
Which is just crazy. Like, thank you, Israel. Like, you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. Like, we really appreciate you.
And also, we just recently slipped out of Austria because last time I checked before checking today, where we were already slipped out, we were place 96 in TV and film in Austria.
Just hitting those top hundreds is just such a big deal for us. We were only 5 weeks into this journey and we're hitting those top 100 rankings. We're in 18 different countries. We've got over 100 different listeners at us. We're
102!
There you go, 102, guys. This is beyond what we expected. And if you are listening to this, we have massive smiles on our faces. We are so proud to be bringing this podcast to you guys. And we're so glad that you're listening to it. It makes us so happy.
Yeah, it really, really does.
We love you guys. And Israel, keep up the good work, guys.
And also shout out to that one person from the Netherlands. I'll look up her name later and give her another shout out at the end of the episode. Who's gonna engrave, that's the word I was looking for, white canary glasses. I'll tell the exact Twitter name at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so, and you know what?
If you want to contact her and she'll make them for you.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? It's so good to support each other. So when somebody's got their own venture and they're making merchandise and they're doing something so fucking badass, like engraving glasses, like that's talent. Like, let's support each other. So yeah, if that's something you think you'd be interested in, keep listening, because at the end of the episode, we're going to tell you exactly how to contact them. And just while we're on that subject, before we move on to the who said it, we have our own merch now. It's on Redbubble. Search for Bebo's podcast.
Bebo's podcast. And the link is also in our link tree. It's the 4th link in the link tree.
And you can get a whole range of stuff. You can get stickers, magnets, clocks, bags, t-shirts, jumpers,
travel mugs.
Travel mugs. With a with Bebo on it, obviously, because we praise Bebo. So yeah, if that's something you're interested in, crack on. It's also given us the sort of avenue where we can now start doing giveaways with some of our merch. We can give that out to some of our wonderful listeners, which is really exciting for us. We've been wanting to do something like that for a while. So yeah, check us out on Redbubble. We've got more stuff coming soon as well, I'm sure. The wonderful, amazing, talented Nacy designed the merchandise, and I think it's on like 40 plus products that you can get the design.
Yes.
And I'm going to speak to Nacy over the next couple of weeks and see if we can't come up with another design as well, so that we've got a lot of options. But anyway, back to your regularly scheduled podcast. Let's bring in the Who Said It segment. Ba-dum-bum-ch. I feel like we should have like a jingle that goes in here. Who said it? I have a good hairdresser.
Ray?
No, but I can see why you said that.
Ah, Snarge! And no, Stein! That's what I wanted to say.
You got there in the end. I'm so proud of you. What a journey you've came on.
No, I thought of, I had the picture of Stein in my head, but for some reason I said Snart.
Listen, they both start with an S, so.
Yes. So, who said it? I despise the heat.
Captain Cold.
Yeah. And I just wrote that down because I despise the heat. And for everyone listening, I'm at my parents' right now, and I live in the hottest room in our complete apartment because I have 3.5 walls that are like on the outside, plus a little winter garden that turns into a sauna if the sun shines onto it.
Elias, I keep telling you, it's not warm in Scotland. Come and live here.
I would love to.
We welcome you with open arms.
I would love to. I would move in with you and take care of your boys with you. Oh. If I wouldn't have to go to high school still. And I really want to go to college for acting in Germany. So,
yeah. Do that, and then you can come.
Well, as an actor, I hope I'll be able to work in the US and in Canada and not in Scotland.
I know you said that. So you do that and we'll come live with you.
Awesome.
Okay. If anybody is listening to this podcast and they hear this sound, that's finger guns. That's what happens when you hear that. It's the finger gun. Just in case you're confused. Because we do it too often to edit it out every time. Okay, this is going to be so much... Sorry, who said it? This is going to be so much fun.
This is going to be so much fun. Snart?
No. Let's say you get 3 guesses, so you're...
This is going to be so much fun. The Russian lady?
New
Vandal Savage.
Yes. Well done.
Is it when they torture Rory and Ray in front of Stein?
No, it's right at the, it's literally in the same conversation where Stein says, I have a good hairdresser.
Oh. Okay.
It's like 2 lines after
Stein. Okay, yeah. I only had 1 quote.
Okay, who said it? Don't all volunteer at once.
Sarah.
Yeah. Okay, I've got 2 more. Who said it? So how does it feel to be dead again?
Snart to Sarah. And her immediate reaction turned left now.
It was
love it.
So good. Okay, last one. Who said it? Barry Allen who?
Jax.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to make one of my quiz questions which other Arrowverse character did Jax quote? No, not quote, but refer to. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, well, you didn't, so haha. Anyway.
Just wanted to say that, okay?
Okay. So that was our quiz section. And if you played along, then please let us know how you got on. We are interested. Did you beat us? We did pretty good this week, so maybe you didn't. We aced that. Maybe there's some that you got right first time. Let us know. We're interested. And coming up next is our amazing finish the quote segment. Did you prepare any?
One, yes.
You get to go first.
Okay. Finish the quote. Can we skip past?
Dum, dum. I don't know. Who said it? Tell me who said it.
Snart.
Can we skip past?
To Gideon, if that helps you.
It doesn't. I don't know. I don't know that one.
Can we skip past the Wikipedia crap and get to the good stuff?
I did know that. Oh, that's so frustrating. Okay, well, let's see how you do then, because I have four. I have four. 1, 2, 3, 4. So much for your cold crook.
Thanks, assassin, or something like that. But there's not. That's not a finished quote. That's what's the next quote?
It's not what's the next quote. It's a fucking conversation, and I didn't say finish the quote. I just said the quote. So.
You're welcome, assassin.
Or anytime, assassin.
Yeah, you're something close. Like that.
I'll let you have it. You can have half a point.
I take it.
Not that we count points, but. anyway, perhaps you didn't. It's said by Sarah. She says it to Gideon.
Perhaps you didn't take that or understand that as a question, Gideon.
Perhaps you didn't register that as a question, Gideon. Well done.
Register.
That's a half point. I'll let you have it.
Thank you.
Finish the quote. This isn't my first.
Prison Break.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Finish the quote. Now he's going to have you. It's so funny. It made me laugh. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, who said it?
Snart.
Snart. To whom?
Sarah.
Perhaps you didn't?
Perhaps. No. Now he's going to have you.
Now he's going to have you. I'm sorry.
She's gone back to like two before.
I'm sorry. Perhaps you didn't. Perhaps.
No, not perhaps you didn't. Now he's going to have you.
Jesus Christ. Today's episode is such a mess. I'm so sorry, guys, listening at home. Now he's gonna have you. Now he's gonna have you. Now he's gonna have you.
You have 5 seconds.
Three. Can't come up with a single thing. Now he's gonna have you naked on his desk.
Yes, he is. No. Now he's gonna have you ice old silver top.
Jesus Christ, yes, fuck.
Jesus Christ, yes, fuck. Somebody drop a mic, because that was. To round off this wonderful recording that Elias is apologizing for, because he knows that he is going to edit it and he knows that he just can't be arsed. He's going to leave all this shit in.
Guys, like listening to you guys listening at home, it's really, really painful to have a 1 hour plus recording where you say where you're talking most of the time and have to listen to that like 4 times, because usually when I have a 1 hour 10 recording, I edit it for 4 to 5 hours. So I'm really gonna die with this one.
This shouldn't be so bad, because usually you have to take everybody's audios out and fix them up, whereas this is just the two of us. So hopefully this one should be like the first episode that me and you done together where you managed to get the editing done in like an hour.
No.
Yeah,
I know
the way it is. Everyone will love it. It's fine.
No, We started at 11 p.m. Yeah, 11 p.m. my time. And I finished it on 3 a.m. my time.
I know, you put so much. Well, on that one, though, you did pull out the audio, didn't you, and change the volumes and things?
Yeah, I cut myself out because I'm so much louder than all of the others because I have the better mic.
I know, I keep forgetting to put mine on, but I don't think it would have fitted my hair today. So, for everyone who can't see my hair, it is like a mane. It's like a lion's mane. And I will take a picture and upload it for you. Because it looks good. Okay. Coming up next is our hypothetical fight segment. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, we got this inspiration from listening to Stephen Amell's podcast called How'd You Do It? Basically, the idea is that we put forward two characters from TV and film, and we discuss which one of them would win if they had a full-on real-life fight, and we discuss it hypothetically in great detail to decide who the winner is going to be. And after each fight, we upload onto our Instagram story a little poll, so you can vote who you think it would be that would win. And in the next slide, you can leave us a reason why you think that is.
Yeah, and I'll also put up a poll on Twitter about that.
So I don't know. I know that we are targeting our audience mainly at DC TV. And I don't know how far out of that people go, because obviously we're talking about DC TV shows. So people might not like Marvel, people might not like the DC movies or whatever. But anyway, we're going to roll with today's hypothetical fight being Captain Marvel versus Wonder Woman.
See, the thing is, I have not seen the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, Matt, you're missing out. She is exquisite.
I don't like movies.
Oh, get over it, because she is outstanding.
Yeah, still don't like movies. So what I know from like the comics.
Yeah, we can basically comics.
Wonder Woman has the same strength and power as Superman does, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she does. I feel like she uses like impervious armor rather than being bulletproof herself. But she's pretty quick with the armor. She doesn't tend to get hit. She's got the shield. She's got the lasso. She can jump really high. She can leap tall buildings in a single bound. It's a bird. Okay. Yeah, she's pretty badass. But then obviously Captain Marvel's got that magic shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Captain Marvel. I mean, it's been some time since I've seen the movie. I was still living in boarding school when I saw it, which was basically the only reason I saw it. So I think Captain Marvel is better than Wonder Woman because everything man-made, like her armor and stuff, has its boundaries and its lines where it can't get better than that. But like, from what I remember, Captain Marvel's magic kind of doesn't have that. So I really think that Captain Marvel is going to win that.
Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman doesn't, like, it goes without saying, she's badass, she's very strong, very powerful, very skilled at what she's doing. She's a very, very well-trained combat fighter. She uses swords. She's brilliant. However, from my understanding of Captain Marvel, which is from the movies and not from comic books and things like that, so I don't really know the ins and outs of all of it, but she's pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I think, hands down, it's Captain Marvel that wins that fight. She, I mean, in in Avengers. I feel like it's in Endgame, maybe.
Yes.
Or Infinity Wars, you find out that she's literally protecting universes.
No, it's in Endgame, I think.
So yeah, I feel like as much as Wonder Woman has her own merits to stand on, that's Captain Marvel's fight, hand down.
Yep.
And
that's, I'm not only saying that because I usually like Marvel a bit more than DC, except for Legends.
I feel like my opinion on the Marvel-DC thing is that Marvel tends to do better movies. DC does really good TV. Now, Marvel's TV shows are good as well. However, I think DC TV shows are better.
Yes, DC TV shows are better, but I still have that kind of weirdly strong connection to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because it did broadcast on, I don't know which program, like 2 years back or something, right? I think it was the first season. And I have really bad insomnia, and I just watched 4 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a row, like from the end of the season or something, and then started to watch it like like religiously for 2 seasons. So I still have that weirdly connection with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, those were quite good. I didn't really get behind Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and those ones, but whereas with DC, I feel like all of their TV shows have hit well. Marvel's movies are off the charts. Now, DC's movies are really good. I like the Justice League, I like Wonder Woman, I like Superman, but they're not quite on the same level. Like, that's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. And also what I've read on Twitter and shit is that the 7th season of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a lot like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They time travel. I know that. And
yeah.
I think they wear period costumes that suit whichever time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just weird. And I also have to say, you said DC shows are better. Yes, and I'm gonna get a lot of shit for that, except for Supergirl, because I like the characters, but just the writers are so awful at times.
I just don't understand why they don't allow their stories to flourish themselves. It seems like they've got a set plan and they just follow it, whereas like,
yeah.
It was never the plan to make Sarah the captain of the Wave Rider. However, they could see that happening for the character, and they went with it.
Yeah, totally.
It's not allowing. Like, they give the actor the character, the character is then portrayed by them, and it's got that little extra something that's not quite in the writing. And I feel like they need to take that on board and allow it to flourish. Now, I could be talking shit. I'm not a writer. And these people put in a lot of hard work, and I'm not trying to undermine what they're doing. However, I feel like they need to allow it to flourish on its own way and mold the writing to the story rather than making those characters fit into a blog. Like, why has nobody seen how into each other Supergirl and Lena Luthor are? Because that's a thing.
I'll put it on queer baiting, just being like, we don't want it to happen, but it's there, so we're not gonna encourage it with the writing, but all the queers are gonna stick around for it.
But the thing is that they might not be encouraging it with the writing, but they kind of are, like.
No.
But no, think about it though, like, they're not encouraging a relationship, but they're encouraging the queer bait in there. They're putting those little seeds in that people will pick and pick and pick at, and but they're not actually letting them grow.
Yeah, because queer baiting is the best way to keep an audience.
It's dumb.
Happened to Riverdale, so.
I know. I know they've done it with Pitch Perfect as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we kind of got a little bit mixed up and off topic there. However, I would be fully 100% behind a Legends of Tomorrow movie. Someone give these guys a movie. Make it huge. Make it crazy. Get people in it.
Like, make it completely crazy and mental. Not able to watch for someone that hasn't seen Legends of Tomorrow. Totally in for it. But making it a usual DC movie with, like, a huge story and not really fun and crap like that, no. Make I'll pass.
A Legends movie. I want to see people on the big screen with my 3D glasses and my popcorn. Somebody do it.
Yes. And then I'll come to Scotland just to see it with you.
We can see it together.
Yes.
We'll make a vlog.
Yes.
Okay, so sorry for the detour, listeners. This has been a bit of a strange podcast. This is why no one should leave us unattended to. Because we're an hour and a half in and we are not finished.
Oh, this is going to be probably the longest podcast. And I still say every once in a while, like every 4 to 5 episodes, we just should have a dynamic duo episode because those are great.
So coming up next on the podcast is our Would You Rather segment. And again, this is going to be popped on social media, Instagram, Twitter. You can vote and let us know what you would think. So I tried to pick one out that fits with Legends, but it's not about Legends. So would you rather go to the past to meet your ancestors or go to the future to meet your descendants?
That's a really tough one. But I think, yeah, I know my answer because I've told that to my mom once while I was drunk. And I think she was too, but I don't remember completely. I would go to the past just to meet my mother's grandfather, because from all the stories I heard of him, he's like, do you, Kari, and all the guy and all the people out there listening know about that infamous question about if you could have a dinner with one person dead or alive, who would you pick?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I basically told my mom if I were ever to be asked that question, I would take her grandfather, because of all the stories she told me, I really want to have one dinner with him to, like, ask him a bunch of questions, because he seems like such an interesting person.
So you would go to the past?
Yes.
I think that's a hard question for me. I really should stop picking questions that I don't have answers to. I would like to
maybe
ask, there is one lady that I would love to meet from my family, my ancestors, my mum's mum. She died when my mum was younger, but she's the first lady in Scotland, first woman to ever have a successful heart transplant. And I think that is badass. Like, what a warrior. Like, so I'd love to meet her. I think that she would love me, because I'm awesome. However, I have children, and I would like to see their children and their children's children. And I think my definitive answer is going to be, I would rather go into the future and meet my descendants. I'd like to meet my great, great, great grandchildren and see what's going on. If you're listening to this at home, then please jump onto our social media. Instagram at Bebo's Legends Podcast. Twitter is
Bebo's Legends, I think. Wait, where's my phone? I'm sorry, I don't look at the Twitter handle from us that often.
No, because you use tweet format, so you don't.
Yeah. It's Bebo's Legends, yes.
So check us out on Instagram and Twitter. And let us know what you would do. We're interested. There will be a poll that you can vote in, and there will also be a box in the next slide where you can let us know why if you want to. We're interested. We're genuinely asking.
Yes.
This has been a really good podcast. If you
and a really wild one on that note.
If you stuck with us all the way through, then thank you. We really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to be checking out episode 6 of Legends of Tomorrow, episode 6, season 1, which is called Star City 2046.
Oh, you once looked it up yourself.
I did.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And yeah, please get in touch with us. We have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have YouTube, we have email, we have a link tree in our bio. So please check it out. It gives you lots of ways that you can listen to the podcast as well. If you find yes. one streaming platform doesn't take your fancy, you can go and pick another one.
I think we have like 8 different streaming platforms onto the link tree, plus Redbubble, plus YouTube.
Yeah. And yeah, just let us know what you're thinking. If you listened to part of this episode and you thought you disagreed with us, we want to know. Get in touch with us and tell us.
Yeah.
This is the whole point in this.
Really soon we're going to have a special guest on our podcast because they won the competition we had running on our Instagram. And their name is Rowan and they won a guest host episode.
Yeah, so that's coming up soon. It's going to be so fun to have them come on.
Yeah.
It'll be really good. So that's coming up soon and there will be more opportunities for other people to also win spots on the show.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate you.
And as teased earlier, we're gonna tell you now where you can order your personal engraved glasses. And she has tea cup glasses, kind of. I don't know what else to call them. They're just glasses with a little handle. Travel mugs, I think. Shot glasses and normal slim glasses. And her ad on Twitter is Mrs. Avalance. And she's from the Netherlands. She is such a nice person and you really want to give her a follow and maybe order a glass yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I had a look at the glass that she engraved for you and it looks so good. She's done such a brilliant job that we highly recommend her.
Yeah.
Check out at Mrs. Avalance on Twitter.
Sure.
And yeah, thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Bebo's Legends Podcast, I la la love you too.